but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a 0.08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a 0.08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest has his finger on the pulse of baseball. You've read him in Ford Magazine, among other places. He is a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. He is Maury Brown. It is a Tuesday. We have Maury on. I got to say, it's Tuesdays with Maury. Do you get that a lot, Maury?
I do. I hope that my outcome is not the same as the Maury in the book.
Right. I got a hibiscus plant by the window.
Yeah, hopefully I got some time left on the wheels here.
I love it. All right, let's start with Shohei Ohtani. Barry Bonds, Shohei Ohtani, people are talking the greatest of all time. The fear factor with Ohtani, the way the Blue Jays are handling him, walking him. He's already walked here in game four at his first plate appearance. What do you make of how the Blue Jays are handling him and the performance he's given in this series?
Well, I mean, if you're the Blue Jays, it's smart. I mean, he just seems to be tearing the cover off the ball right now. And pardon me, one of the things about him was going into the ALCS, you know, into the World Series, was that he had not really picked up his stride yet. And so coming out of the NLCS, he suddenly found his groove. So, I mean, I think it's smart that John Schneider is intentionally walking in. Does it make for bad baseball? I mean, you don't want to see somebody, you know, intentionally walk that many times. I mean, it's going to happen all the time. But it does remind me a lot of Barry Bonds. And I think that they're approaching him this way. But the key thing about him is that's the damage he's going to go ahead and get at the plate, right? They're not going to let him beat him with the long ball. So they're going to pick their poison and let Mookie Betts try and do something behind him. Today, it's about him pitching. After that marathon of a game last night, after the bullpens were absolutely depleted, they never had to use him. It would have been the first time we would have had a position player come out and, you know, you would remove him from the DH and put him in as a pitcher. The Dodgers had that option last night. So he's a weapon we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. Not since Babe Ruth was a two-way guy have we seen this. So, you know, it's extraordinary, John.
The Barry Bonds versus Ohtani debate. Maury, I give you a season, Bonds in his prime, Ohtani now or in his prime, or in a bat or a game. Which guy do you want at the plate?
Well, I mean, I think we know why Bonds was such the threat, right? But, yeah, I would probably take Bonds at the plate. His, you know, I think the thing before the situation with the steroid scandal was that he had such incredible plate awareness that, you know, him juicing up simply allowed him to wait and sit on the ball. And he just had, an incredible awareness of the game that had nothing to do with steroids. So I would go with Bonds, but I mean, it's really close. If I have to choose a guy now, right, knowing that Ohtani has obviously the ability to pitch, well, I'm going to put him on my roster. If it's an at-bat, I'd probably go with Bonds.
Maury Brown with us, Forbes magazine baseball writer. You've read him other places as well, a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. Maury, the Mariners season didn't end how the Mariners wanted it. Cal Raleigh, amazing year. What do you say to Mariners fans who are going, we're never going to win it?
Yeah, it's difficult. I have questions about Dan Wilson's decision-making at the end, why he didn't use Munoz. You know, you basically left your best pitcher in the deciding game. It was a now or never situation. So, you know, that's the big what-ifs, what if would happen. They have a lot of questions going into the offseason, John. I mean, they just, you know, they're going to have to figure out whether they're going to do something with a Rosarena. You have the ability to potentially try and wrap up Polanco. You know, they won the trade deadline, so they need to do something about retaining those guys, right? I mean, you just want to go ahead and keep your corner infielders that they acquired that were key players in the whole thing. So, look, I think that given the fact that they hadn't really gone out and done much in free agency, right? I mean, for the most part, they've all been done with trades and development. Well, it looks pretty good. You know, it really does. Now, whether Cal Raleigh can do it all over again, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it was such a remarkable season for him. But I would say that the odds are that they have a window here to do something more than what they've done in the past, which is they made the wild card series and then they sat on their hands. And that was, I think, really disappointing for the league. They've dropped Root Sports Northwest. They're going to offload that. So that questions about whether the revenues from the regional sports network is no longer a question. They're going to absolutely reap rewards in terms of season ticket sales and sponsors due to how far they went. You know, I think the future is pretty bright for them for at least a few more seasons.
Maury, Cal Raleigh as an MVP, where were you on that all season as this developed and the debate about Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh for that award?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Cal Raleigh due to the position. I know that if we look straight at the numbers, right, I'm going to look at Aaron Judge's slash line, and I'm going to go, it's far and away the best, right? But I have to think about the fact that Raleigh had to go up there and sit behind the dish largely every day. So he has to go in and be in all the meetings to scout all the batters, work with all the pitching batteries that he has to work with, you know, basically going through and dealing with that, and then hitting from both sides of the plate. So he's getting dinged up all season long. I just think in terms of value to the club, while you're not going to say Julio Rodriguez is chopped liver, right? I mean, if I'm going to say who's the most valuable guy to the Mariners in 2025, or in any team in Major League Baseball, it's Cal Raleigh. So I would give it to him. I think that Judge is going to wind up winning it, but I think it's going to be very, very close.
Maury, you were watching the World Series. We're watching the ALCS. I know there's a lot of people in Portland that are going, you know, is baseball ever going to happen? Let's start with expansion. Rob Manfred, commissioner, where are they on expansion? How far away do they feel to you to actually making a move? And then we can get to, is it a Portland move? But does baseball want to expand? Are they close? Where are they?
They absolutely want to expand. I mean, it's been over 10 years, John, since I broke the news that Manfred wanted to get to 32 teams. And so that was, you know, it's just been hanging around for a long, long time. Now it's continued to be, we have to deal with the A's, we have to deal with the Rays first before we can talk about this. But the A's, while they continue to seem to have maybe funding problems, you know, they've got shovels in the ground. I think that's going to come through. Rays now have new ownership, so that's in the forefront. I think what's going to wind up happening, John, is that they're going to establish an expansion committee right about the time Manfred is walking out the door and retiring. He said he wants to retire in 29. So, you know, I think that the expansion committee will be in place. His, you know, successor will be the one that will actually pull the trigger on it. So, look, I mean, we're still ways off, 5 years, you know, before we can really have a talk about it. I mean, they're going to give time to let the likes of Portland, the likes of Salt Lake City, other markets, they're going to open that thing up. And when it becomes open and public, you watch, markets are going to start coming out of the woodwork, just like we saw in 2001 to 2003 here in Portland with the likes of San Antonio. People forget San Antonio popped their head up for a bit. Las Vegas, you know, did at the time. There were a lot of others. I think that you'll see that. Now, how many of them are pretenders and how many are contenders, I don't think we'll fully know. Portland obviously is in that contender slot right now.
What areas could the Diamond Project, Craig Chake and his team, what areas could they improve on? Because if they've got some time here, I have to think they're being strategic.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is if I go and I compare it to what the Salt Lake effort has, you see their investment capital stack very exposed. And so I think there are a lot of questions about how it's financially built. I think it's very easy to do exploratory stuff. You know, I think the biggest problem that Diamond Projects has had is that they've looked at several sites and they've made, you know, plays on some of them and examined them, and then they haven't followed through. So I think that they do at some point here in the near future need to say, hey, these are the people behind what our ownership group looks like. Again, if you look at Salt Lake City, you know, you have the prior ownership of the Utah Jazz. They have backing from the likes of the Romney family, who are, you know, deep into private investment, you know, so you see a pretty transparent thing. I think that would help. I really do. If not for the fact that it would help in Portland, and certainly in the national picture, then I'm sure they probably said this stuff to the folks at Major League Baseball. But again, I think that if you really want to make a play for it, you do that. And then, you know, they've got a few years. If they close on the site, they actually make the purchase, well, then you're really serious. Then you're in the driver's seat.
Maury Brown with us, Forbes magazine baseball writer. I was interviewed by a Salt Lake City TV station that came out to Portland, and they're doing a sweeps piece on, you know, is it Salt Lake or is it Portland? And my response to that is, why can't it be both? If I'm Major League Baseball, I might realign the divisions. I'm going to take the best two cities. Am I reading that right, Maury? I mean, does baseball want to realign? Would that help with travel? Is it one team in the American League, one in the National League? How do you see that unfolding when it becomes a decision?
Well, they're absolutely going to do realignment. Again, this is, you know, maybe I buried the leading, but Manfred has talked about this for well over a decade, that you would get into eight divisions of four, and that you would do realignment. And then if you look at how the league has gone over the last few years, John, they've really set it up. I mean, you now have a universal DH right across the league. You have daily interleague, so it's blurring the lines between the National League and the American League. Maybe in the same sense that when we watch the NFL, it just becomes, you know, a little bit blurred. There's really like no heavy distinction between the two. So that would allow them to do regional realignment, and that serves two benefits. If you're, you know, Seattle has the worst travel of all the clubs, that would get greatly reduced because you would go ahead and create, let's say, a Pacific Northwest division. And so that would certainly help. It would help the clubs. It would lower costs, you know, in terms of the amount of money that they spend on air travel and all that goes along with it. So it would help. So to your concept, though, about the idea, Manfred has wanted one in the West and one in the East. Now, Nashville all of a sudden doesn't look as prominent as they once did. Now, whether that changes in 5 years, I don't know. From a market perspective, I think it would make great sense. But again, it's easy to go, hey, let's talk about it. It's really, really difficult. That's why I have, you know, it's a lot that Diamond Project has on their plate. It's an exceptionally difficult process. So it's easy to talk about it. It's very difficult to pull it off. Could they do something like that? You know, they might. I mean, you could stick, the Rockies and Salt Lake in a division. And then you could have Portland, obviously an I-5 thing, you know, with the Giants, maybe Vegas, you know, you could align it that way. There's a lot of ways to slice it up. So I don't know if it's entirely out of the question. I think it would largely be they'll go that route, I think, as a last resort. I think they ultimately want one in the East because, again, it makes travel easier over there. But again, if nobody steps up to the plate, you know, to go ahead and get something built, then maybe they do look at it both ways.
The idea, you know, the A's are going to Vegas. I've seen the ground being broken there, and, you know, I've remained skeptical. I tell people in Vegas, you know, call me when the stadium's open, but feels like they have that settled. Where do they stand really on the A's and the Rays? Because that seemed to be the thing that was holding everything up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the problem with the Fisher family and the A's continues to be a problem. You know, they've actively gone out and tried to get more investors. I mean, that is largely the question. They've got stuff going now. I know Bally's is going to do a huge development around it, and so maybe they're going to tap into that somehow. they can figure out a way. The Rays are the biggest question. I mean, they're going to play next season back in Tropicana Field after the hurricane damage that was done to it. They've got that repaired. But that's just a Band-Aid, John. I mean, they've got to do something about it. So the club has been sold, and I can't imagine that the conversations within the league, certainly they are, if we're talking about it in the national media and in the local media, then obviously it's a hot topic within the owners. They have got to figure out how to get a stadium built there in Tampa Bay. They were right on the cusp of it, right there in St. Petersburg. They could have basically done it right where Tropicana Field is right now. Maybe they go and revisit that. That was largely the prior ownership walked away from it. You know, they were very close to making that deal happen. So, you know, maybe that's how they resurrect it. And I would have to say that after the World Series, you're going to see a lot more focus around it. I mean, that's job one for Manfred and the league. It becomes now a sole focus for them, where they were kind of split between Vegas and what's going on in Tampa Bay. But, yeah, they've got to get it sorted out. They can't get to expansion until then. And, John, the expansion fees for each club is going to be over $2 billion. I mean, there's a lot of incentive. Plus, now that they're looking to shop all their local media rights as a single package, then you would see an additional couple of clubs that they would be able to put into a media package. So there's a bunch of tentacles to it of wanting to make that thing happen so that they can get to expansion.
Maury Brown, Forbes magazine baseball writer. Look, the idea that Seattle would be opposed to a team in Portland, it's one vote. And I've been told, hey, it's one vote. Yes, there could be some issues over territorial broadcast rights. But, you know, much like the Nationals and the Orioles, it got worked out. How much of an obstacle are the Mariners to Portland getting a team?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, look, others may sit there and go, well, if it happened to Seattle, it could happen to us. But, look, we're not getting past 32 teams for – maybe never, you know, it's a lofty number for the league to go to. I think that the one thing that I asked Rob Manfred about this a few years ago, and specifically to the Orioles-Nationals situation, and he said, if I had had the ability to do this, because, of course, Bud Selig was commissioner at the time, he goes, I would have done a straight-up vote. They wouldn't have indemnified the Orioles in the way that they did. And that, I think, just cluttered things up. I know that there was talk about suing and everything, but Seattle would have a hard time with that. I really do. Of course, there's no place that you can drop a team and not cut into somebody's broadcast territory. So, hey, if you're going to do expansion, then somebody's going to get hit. And so with Seattle, now, and granted, I mean, this is something else to think about, John. The Giants' territory has crept up. It's all the way up to Salem now. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the A's going to Vegas. You know, I have not seen what the territory would look like. Currently, I mean, there's like 9 clubs that call Las Vegas their territory. So, I mean, if you can move the A's there and you deal with, you know, 8 other clubs, they can deal with the Mariners. They won't like it. It is something that they've done. But again, The Mariners are in better financial shape than I think a lot of people realize. Their broadcast territory is fairly large, and they've done exceptionally well on the sponsorship front. And again, what they've done in the playoffs, that's going to really slingshot next year. They're going to make some hay next year, certainly in sponsorship, and new sponsorships, new season tickets, and renewals.
Maury, the Blazers have a new ownership group led by Tom Dundon coming in. They have signaled that they're going to ask for some public help on infrastructure. There could potentially be a development around Moda Center. That's going to take some bandwidth from City Hall and from the state capitol, and there'll be a lot of talk about public support for the Blazers. Does that concern you at all for the MLB to PDX effort, that maybe there's not enough bandwidth for both of these things to happen?
Yeah, it's a concern. I mean, look, our market is not very, you know, big on that sort of thing. We have always put other things of priority above, you know, basically, you know, supporting private business, and that's what sports franchises are. I think the thing that plays into this, John, is that I think that the political support for it is largely there. And there's some, and the business community is there. Look, there's little doubting, if you've looked at foot traffic numbers, that Portland has lagged behind the country in terms of being able to reclaim that. And so they're very hot on the idea of being able to have a large multi-billion dollar development in South Portland. I think that, you know, it, where it's located would drive a ton of traffic into downtown. It's going to leverage, you know, obviously MAX, the trolley, buses, everything. So, and so parking structures in downtown's core are going to get used. And that, I think, helps support the whole downtown infrastructure. So from the perspective of the city and from Multnomah County, I think that they can make it work. How it plays out statewide, you know, I don't know. And again, I think that there will always be NIMBYs that will say no. I don't blame them, right? I mean, there are a lot of things that are important right now to try and deal with. It, you know, it is one of those things. But I think that in this environment right now, if you had tried to do this, John, before the pandemic, there's no way. I think it would have absolutely killed one effort, right? And the Blazers would have absolutely taken top shelf in that regard. I think now it's a little bit different.
I appreciate all of your expertise. And, Maury, I appreciate you coming on the show. We'll bring you back on. You like the Dodgers in this series? And by the way, on that front, do you think owners in MLB will try to close the loophole on deferred compensation? And Shohei's contract certainly top of mind there.
Yeah, so let's start with the last part first. I absolutely think that that's one thing they have to deal with. They're not going to get a salary cap. But that ability, you know, to defer that compensation allowed them to become the juggernaut that they are. Sign Yamamoto, you know, which has been, he's been a key weapon for the Dodgers in this series. So, yeah, I think that they have to do that. Again, I think that, you know, it's one of those things I have to, you know, I want to sit there and root for the Blue Jays because they haven't done it. But I look at the Dodgers and I just think that they're so exceptionally deep that they're going to be the first back-to-back winners in this thing. You know, I'm watching this game right now. They got a slight lead. It's very early on. But after that game last night, I mean, that has to be pretty debilitating for the Blue Jays. But, you know, we've got a few games left in this thing. You know, maybe they've changed my mind on it.
Maury, I appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
All right, John, you take care. Thanks for having me.
All right, great stuff from Maury Brown, Forbes Magazine. On the baseball front, I think the political will is there in a way it has never been in Portland. I worry about the timing. I worry about the Portland Diamond Project having the fuel to keep this fire going. But if Major League Baseball expands, I am a proponent of saying, why not the best two markets and then realign? Get the Houston Astros out of the American League West. They don't belong in the American League West. Let's realign this, have it make sense geographically. All right, leave it here. We got some final thoughts, some parting thoughts coming up.